Welcome to the Crude Life Media Network podcast. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist. And on today's episode, we talk with Brad Lincoln, co-founder of Funkworks, a microbrewery in Fort Collins, Colorado. And on today's episode, we talk about pineapple beer, whether Funkworks will infuse cannabis into their beer or not, and the brewery business. In just a moment, our interview with Brad Lincoln of Funkworks. But first, I want to take this moment to remind you good folks to please support our sponsors. They literally keep the lights on. Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Go to coachingwithhatch.com for more information or send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that Eric Hatch gets your email personally. That's Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching, coachingwithhatch.com. And MBI Energy Services. For more information about MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job openings, visit their website, www.mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. And now our interview with Brad Lincoln, co-owner of Funkworks Brewery out of Fort Collins, Colorado.
I'm Brad Lincoln with Funkworks.
Funkworks, first off, let's talk about Funkworks. What is it? What do you guys do at Funkworks?
We've been around for almost 7 years at this point in time. We focus on saisons and sours primarily. We have about 160 barrels in our barrel age program. We're not a huge player. We did about just under 6,000 barrels last year. But we do kind of niche styles, being saisons and sours, and really focus on that. So we're not a brewery that's for everyone. We're doing our own thing.
I would imagine being a brewery, it's not about, you know, competing with Budweiser or competing with Coors or anything like that. It would be more about making the numbers work and making sure that you've got a good product so that, you know, that you're going to make those things work. Because I don't know much about the microbrew business. Is it a high-risk business? Is it a...
You know, I don't know. I think it's probably becoming more high-risk. I think that there's a lot of entrants coming in, mm-hmm. which always has the potential to... you know, create a kind of a bubble kind of experience. You know, for us, so I think we're kind of past that point. You know, I'm not necessarily concerned about our future, but those early years, I can tell you, it was much more concerning. Originally, I was an accountant years and years ago and then went to brewing school. So I had experience in kind of doing and looking at financial information. I take care more of the business and sales side now. And, my business partner, Gordon, takes care of kind of the production side of things. So that's kind of how we split it. But there's always... There's always a fear out there of, you know, is something going to change, or which it always is, this type of thing.
And what type of beer are you showcasing today?
We have primarily our Saisons and Provincial Series, Kettle Sours that
okay.
we do. We have our Pineapple on Draft, which
That's
is
it.
One of my favorites that we do of the Provincial Series. So raspberries are our best seller. Apricot's always also available along with raspberries. We're prototyping. We brought one of our prototypes here being the pineapple, which I love.
Hey, Josh, could I get a pineapple to
Absolutely.
Give it a try?
I was just going to talk to you guys. I wanted to make sure that the conversation was over, Chris.
Oh, no, yeah. we don't mind. We'll put this right on the radio that I'm ordering a beer on the air.
Yeah,
that's fine
yeah.
by me.
Oh, yeah, I'll put it out then.
Okay. So I'm going to sample it, so that'll be good. You're a former accountant?
Yep, former. I worked for Deloitte & Touche many years ago.
And now you're in sales?
Well,
that's the gist of it.
Sales, but yeah, I don't do a lot of it. I'm out of the day-to-day.
Sorry to interrupt, but do you have a tab? Should I throw it on my
I can pay for it as it goes. Doesn't matter.
Okay. So
or a tab, you know.
Okay. Whatever works. I just want to make sure I got the right, you know.
No problem. That'll add it up. talk to me about that transition, because accounting and sales are two different types of brains.
Yeah.
You know, accounting more linear thinking, sales more abstract.
And I don't know that I'm great at either one, so it might make me okay at both.
Hey, that's good, man. That's good.
So, you know, I had to become an accountant primarily because I had been told that a lot of accountants are really good at starting businesses.
Otherwise, I couldn't leave it open. Perfect. I'm glad
to hear
you. So, primarily, you know, accountants start a lot of businesses. You can read financial statements. You get a good understanding of how things work. And so that's why I had chosen to go be an accountant after college. And then getting into the sales, it was much more along the lines of, well, Gordon wasn't going to do sales, and so it looked like it fell to me, and so that's kind of how I got my start in it. I got Laura and I, who was our first employee, got our first 200 accounts, and we kind of grew from there. And I will say, I was not the best salesperson, but I used to be the guy who would, you know, call you over in the store and say, hey, you want to try this? And that kind of thing. That was my job. I don't know that I was the best at it, but I was okay enough
to
get it started.
It's inspiring that an accountant can go to a sales job and get 200 accounts. And talk to me a little bit about that process, because you've got a new product. Back then, and how long have you...
This was about 6.5 years ago.
So 6.5 years ago was really kind of before the craze took off.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, being in Colorado, there's still a lot of craft breweries, but, you know, we had six or five maybe in Fort Collins where we were, and we were number six. Now we have 21. You know, so it kind of does tell you that we were right on the kind of the forefront of that. But one of the things that stands out to me about that time, kind of getting together and kind of doing the transition from being an accountant to going into the sales and the site, is that we, when we first started going, I kind of lost my train of thought here. I apologize. I kind of got distracted with that.
Transition.
Oh, transition. The transition between those two. I apologize.
No, that's okay. The beer's that good.
Yeah, it is. So transitioning from being an accountant to going into the sales world, as we talked about, I was the one who was going to do it. We went and got it started. We had 200 accounts. There was all these new breweries, but it wasn't where we were able to stand out because we were doing different things than everybody else was. And we started going and got... When we first started going out there, we were selling Saison. People hadn't heard of Saison before. It was very difficult.
What is Saison?
Saison is a Belgian style of beer that is a little bit more dry. It'll either come in more spicy or fruity notes. Okay. There's not a huge hop presence in it, like an IPA or anything like that, but it has a little bit of a hop presence. And then from there, so we were going out, we were telling people what Saison was, and, you know, going from being in brewing school gave me some credibility on it. But what really did it is, in 2011, we got a silver medal at the Great American Beer Festival. And then in 2012, we got Small Brewery of the Year. And so after that, that was huge for us. We were able to sell in very quickly.
Where was the Great American Brew Festival?
It is in Denver. So okay. it's for the U.S., but it's always in Denver every year.
So that's nice. Proximity, geography worked out great for you. You got to keep your travel expenses down and everything.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Pineapple, okay. I understand raspberry. You guys probably grow raspberries in Colorado, I imagine.
We probably do. We get ours from Oregon, actually.
You get them from Oregon, okay. Pineapple, that's pretty specific geography there. You're talking Hawaii and maybe some other...
Yeah, well, we get it from the same company we get the raspberries from. So okay. How we kind of chose the fruit was, the story on Provencial was we did a... Provencial is the kind of the sour aspect of the beer. And we did a version of this, a seasonal, I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago. And we had a batch that didn't meet spec. It was under gravity, so it just had a little bit less alcohol. We didn't want to bring it to market because it didn't meet our qualifications. But the beer itself is good. Gordon had the idea of, like, let's throw some raspberries in it. And literally, it's like a very pink beer, and it took over our patio that summer. You would have these moments where we would go from... you know, one person would order it, and then the entire patio would order it. And we sold out in about 10 days. And so after that, we started kind of bringing it back as a seasonal, and then it just stuck. And Raspberry Provincial kind of took off, and it's now our number two bestseller outside of Tropiking, but it's fast approaching that to kind of overtake it. So after that, we started experimenting with various different fruits. We did one with apricot. We did a hibiscus. We did a dry hop version, which will actually be one of our seasonals this year. And then my favorite is the pineapple that you're drinking. We did this as just like, let's see how pineapple goes with it. And it goes very nicely. The sour mixes well with the pineapple, and it's very easy drinking.
By the way, this is my first beer in over a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. Thank you.
And it's not, because I don't, you know, go out and drink or anything like that. It's that, you know, I've got a kid that I raise, and so I just don't have alcohol around the house. And but when I like to go out, I like to order a craft beer because it's about the experience, and it's about the textures and the layers to it. And I see that with the pineapple. I can taste the pineapple in there, but also I can taste some of the other elements that a traditional beer brings. How does this work? How long does it take to make a batch? So, how many ingredients do you got to put in there?
Well, you know, it's it takes a little bit longer than some other beers that we do, but what we do is kind of a little bit different process. So most beer, you'll go through, you'll brew the beer, you put it in the tank, you put yeast on, you dry hop it, and then, you know, after a few weeks, you carbonate it, and then you put it in packaging.
How do you carbonate it?
We have a bright tank, and we actually bubble CO2 through it.
You inject the CO2?
You inject the CO2.
Okay.
But with this particular way, we have another step in there, which is we let it sit overnight or a couple days, depending, and we will put a souring bacteria in it, which will turn it sour, and then we bring it back into the kettle, boil it so it kills all the bacteria, and then we drop the yeast at that point in time. So it's a little bit different of a process, a little bit more complex, but it gives it that kind of that sourness. And then later on, instead of dry hopping, we add pineapple into kind of the fermenter at that point in time.
Do you do an IPA, a heavy IPA?
No,
one?
We don't. Okay. We have stuck really just to Belgian styles and sours. You know, there were so many good IPAs around, and we're in a town with New Belgium and Odell's who just do excellent stuff, and we knew from the start that we wanted to be different than everybody, which is why we don't do any IPAs, we don't do any pails. Occasionally we'll do a stout, because I like stouts. We did our very first lager, which was done on a whim just for our tap room.
That's another nice thing about the tap, the smaller taps and the crafts and the microbrews is you, and it goes back to controlling the numbers to where you don't want to run too far away from a stock, you know what I mean, a root, a core. And that sounds like what you guys are doing. You found your successful core, and introducing a pineapple one or a raspberry one is almost more like a fun time for you guys as
it
opposed
is.
To, okay, we got to make these numbers work because we got a whole new department we're going to go ahead on. And talk to me about that a little
well,
bit.
Well, you know, I would say that one of the things about this, and it's at least craft beer at our size is very much like, what do Gordon and I want to do? Like, certain things we have to do. We have to brew enough Saison. We have to brew enough King. We have to brew enough Raspberry Provençal. But in some years, we didn't have enough tanks because we were growing so fast. We doubled 2 years' growth. We grew by 70% last year. So we're finally at a point now where we have enough tanks that we can go have a little bit of fun, which is kind of why we're, you know, we have the pineapple and this type of thing. And it will be just on a whim. Gordon will decide that he wants to do something. I'm like, let's try this. I'm really excited about this particular project. Let's go do that, and we can do it. And if it doesn't turn out, well, it goes to drain. But it's really just us who kind of get hurt by that. We don't have, you know, any other investors or anything like us. It's just the two of us.
Brad Lincoln, co-founder?
Yeah, co-founder.
And CEO or sales or co-founder?
Yeah, co-founder
okay.
is what I do.
Brad Lincoln, co-founder, Funkworks. Microbrew, is it correct?
Yeah, craft beer.
Craft beer, okay. Out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Have you guys explored the cannabis beer at all? Are you looking at that?
No, because like we actually got a call on that. Gordon got a call on that like I want to say a year ago or whenever it started to become legal.
Do you want to know the beer
though? Yes, please.
Same thing?
Yes, thank
and
you.
And pineapple, I imagine.
Yep.
Wait, what kind is it, bartender?
Ooh, we're looking at, I have descriptors here, the pineapple provincial.
So if somebody ordered a pineapple provincial, how would you describe it?
Honestly, I haven't tried it quite yet, so I probably should be back with a sample for myself.
Yeah, you should get it. Just get definitely.
Yeah, and then I'll make sure that you have a beer first because you got to be hydrated.
Thank you. Here, I thought that was a softball for him to read that, but okay, all right, you Josh. Okay, so
we tried the cannabis beer, or we didn't try it. We were approached by it, and then Gordon, we're federally licensed, so always the big fear is if we go do something along those lines, the feds are going to come crack down. And certainly under the new administration, that is very much more of a concern than it was under the Obama administration. So we're not touching it. We're not going in that direction.
So because you guys are in alcohol, you're considered under the federal.
We're under the federal license. Yeah. We have a federal and a state, and we have 14 governmental bodies.
This is a completely new twist to the whole cannabis story because I do cover cannabis for a number of different programs and magazines, and the banking was such a unique thing.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
It's federally insured and it's a cash business, and you got people in Colorado burying money in barrels in their backyard like Breaking Bad. Another guy I interviewed was setting up his dispensary to be a credit union because they're not FDIC insured, and another guy just paid his employees in cash and let them worry about the IRS later. So that's a new twist to the whole cannabis thing, because in North Dakota, we have medicinal cannabis now, medicinal marijuana.
Really?
It just passed, and it's having problems at the state, but the past and the federal is a big hang-up. I've never heard that from the brewing industry.
You know, and I think there's some breweries that have done it, but we've always just been concerned. And I don't know that they've done it with any THC in it, too. I mean, I think that that's the other thing. I know that they've used, like, hemp and this type of thing, but I don't know that they've used much with THC. But somebody's going to do it. You know, I think there's probably a market for something along those lines. I don't necessarily want to be the ones where the feds come busting down the door.
I hear you there. In fact, I don't think it's a good idea to mix THC and alcohol anyway.
That's actually a good point, too.
I can think of a few nights where the two mixed and it's not good.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even remember those nights. But yeah, that's
honestly, I don't either.
Right.
Oh, I spent a week in Colorado one night. Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
So you're kind of you're here kind of doing a personal appearance for your new beer that you're launching, the Pineapple
Provincial. We've got Saison, we've got Raspberry Provincial, we've got Tropicane, and we've got Apricot Provincial.
Where's the word provincial come from? I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah. I don't know that we're that familiar with that term, honestly. It was one of those things that we pulled out. Naming beers is, everybody will tell you, is fun until you realize that a lot of the good names are taken. And so we found this name, I think Gordon found it. He was thinking of like French countryside kind of thing. Provincial came into his head and he kind of went with that. And really, more than anything else, it fell down to, it just kind of stuck and it wasn't being used. And so then we just started putting the fruit in and it kind of took on a life of its own. I mean, that's how a lot of our names have been.
So what's next for you guys? I know you got a new one going, but and you're celebrating the fruits of your labor. But at the same time, I'm sure you got a few ideas in the back of your head for the future.
Yeah, you know, the things that most excite me are barrel projects. I really enjoy some of the stuff that we're doing with barrels and some of the barrel blends with some of the sours and regular beers that we do. I believe that you can add layers of complexity with a barrel, but it shouldn't necessarily be overpowering. You know, an ideal beer for me might be a barrel beer, but you can't even tell it's totally a barrel beer. It just has that kind of layer to it. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about getting more provincials out there. I think that, the hibiscus provincial was good, but it wasn't great. This pineapple one is great. It's going to be our summer seasonal. I want to explore a little bit more of that. I think that there is some hops that we're starting to be able to kind of get that and explore on the Saison side of things. They don't really go that well with the provincial, but we have a dry hop version of it that I'm really interested in kind of seeing how that turns out this summer. But really, I think my kind of heart is always in the barrel project.
Do you do, I know you mentioned you've got taps at how many locations?
I have no idea in these days, truthfully.
Okay, over 200 is it?
Over 200.
Okay,
sure, yeah.
That's amazing to have, I would imagine, to supply beer to over 200 people. Do you do cans? Do you do bottles?
We do bottles. We have four packs of bottles available, and those are available here starting the next couple weeks as well.
How many states are you in for that?
Six at the moment.
Do you know off the top of your head the states?
Yes, I do. Colorado, Arizona, Texas, Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota.
What about the neighboring states? Wyoming, Nebraska, Utah? I guess I just answered my own question there.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it tough to get into some of those more conservative states?
It's certainly Utah has its own market kind of complexities, but it's all sold through one, basically, chain. We'd be considered liquor over there. For other states, New Mexico or Wyoming, we have a good relationship with our distributor up here, which also has offices in Minnesota as well as Iowa. And they've supported us really well as Johnson Brothers, and that makes a big difference to us. We want to know that whoever's representing our beer is doing a great job, and that's kind of what we look for. That's kind of how we pick them. Will we go into New Mexico and Wyoming? Absolutely, at some point in time. But we just got to find the right partner in those areas.
And a lot of times it's because you can't go into a bar and just sell to them. You got to go through a distributor,
we have to
right?
Go through a distributor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's we don't get too political on the show, but you can sell in your own brewery, right?
Yes.
Okay, because in Fargo, there's an issue where a brewery opened a second location, and they got to go through the distributor so the distributor can deliver to their second location because they're not technically a microbrew, they're just a satellite location.
So in Colorado, we couldn't even do that.
Really?
Yeah, the way that it works is that you really can't technically have a second tap room or anything like that. We're trying to get that changed. My hope is that that changes, but we'll kind of see how it goes. I can see there's some kind of like backdoor ways to do it, but it's again through the same kind of relationship that you're talking about.
It probably would be where you would have to sell to yourself.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is, yeah, it's bittersweet. You know, it's nice because you make a markup, but then also you lose that profit and everything else. And, well, I tell you, I like to give guests the final say, the final word. Anything we need to hit on? Anything that you want to reiterate? Anything? Any direction you want to go?
No,
so the final word's yours.
You know, I think that the only thing I'd like to say is that I had never been to North Dakota before. It wasn't, I think there's only about four states I hadn't been to. And when I got here, I was expecting everything to be covered in snow, which it was not. The weather's very nice. It's very similar to Fort Collins right now. I wasn't expecting such a cool downtown area in Fargo. I just didn't know what I was. And kind of coming here, I've really enjoyed the past couple days. So I'm excited that we're here. I'm sure we will be back in town, Laura and I. And, yeah, I hope that everybody likes us.
Are you in any final question again, once
sure.
again. Sorry. Are you in any other locations across the state of North Dakota? We've got like 30 radio affiliates, and we're down in the Black Hills. We got eastern Montana, but I don't think you're there. But
we're not
in North Dakota. What other cities are you in?
Let's see.
Bismarck?
Maybe. I really don't know. Grand Forks, I know we're in.
Minot?
Yeah, I think we're going, like, I think that those are a couple that have come up. Like, we went and did the distributor meeting today, and they named all of these cities off that we're going, but I don't know what's there and how fast we're going to be there or anything like that. I apologize.
For folks in Bismarck, Dickinson, Williston, Minot, et cetera, don't be offended when you've got 200+ accounts and stuff that I can't even name all my radio stations I'm on, and I apologize to all my affiliates, but I know what you mean. Once you get to a certain point, your mind just can't keep track of them all. It's you start intermingling states and Fargo, New Mexico, you know? And so.
Well, the other thing is like, this is why I bring Laura with me, because I suck at doing the kind of stuff of doing that. She keeps me in order. I think the rule is when I'm talking to the distributors, I'll be like, oh yeah, we have that beer in the brewery, and Laura will be like, no, we don't have that beer in the brewery. We can't sell it. We've already sold it to somebody else.
Stop killing the sale!
Yeah, so there's this kind of thing. It's just not my strong suit knowing, you know, where anything's at. I'm not the detail person. She helps me out along the way.
Brad Lincoln, thank you much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Funkworks out of Fort Collins, Colorado.
And that was Brad Lincoln of Funkworks. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, www.thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Check out our Facebook and Twitter pages, facebook.com/thecrudelife and twitter.com/realcrudelife. I'd also like to take this time once again to thank our sponsors for supporting the Crude Life Media Network podcast, Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Go to coachingwithhatch.com for more information or send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll personally make sure that Eric Hatch gets your email. Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching, coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. MBI Energy Services. For more information about MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job openings, visit their website, www.mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Well, that's it for this episode. Till next time, be happy, and remember, sometimes life can just be crude. We'll see you next time, folks. Big stud, you can be Bugs Bunny, I'll be hell foot, I'll follow you, I think you know the way. If we were pigs, we'd be getting dirty. I said, I kinda like that, we kinda like that girl. My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.